Praise the Lord. Let's open our Bible to the book of Matthew, chapter 24. Let us read verse 36 to verse 39. God wants us to continue to watch His coming judgment as we continue to do His work and His will. Matthew 24, verse 36 to verse 39, and say, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your goodness, your faithfulness. We come before you in the name of Jesus. We do pray, O God, that the message will give us warning and make us alert and teach us to go along your ways and your path in the name of Jesus. I pray that we understand our responsibilities and our assignment well, and we do it gratefully, faithfully, without grumbling, knowing that you are watching and you will reward those who are faithful, and you will deal with those who are wicked and do their own will and plan. I pray, anoint my lips, O God, and put words and verse and statement to deliver the message as the way you want it to be. We thank you, Lord. We bless you. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. In Matthew 24, the Lord expounded to them not about His second coming, but what He responded in Matthew 24, His coming judgment on the Jewish church who rejected Him and rejected His word. And He responded much to His disciples, but the thing that is concerning us today is that the point, the Lord will visit His church with judgment. It may delay, but it will come sure. The scripture warns us and give us a clear line, clear way how to walk with God. He used the Lord Jesus here. He used what had happened at the time of Noah and how the judgment of God came on them all of us. And He responded to them the sin that they were doing. And He also told them that the judgment that had come on them. At the time of Noah, while he was building the ark, he was telling to the people and explaining that he is building the ark because God will send a flood and he will judge. And we know very well they did not respond, but they continued to live their life of a pleasure. The thing that is here, the Lord is found about the condition of the people before the judgment of God fall on them. The same sin, what has happened at the time of Noah, is the same what the church today is doing and also glorifying. In verse 38, but this is the day that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, they were concentrating on their flesh, how to eat good, how to eat better. They were not denying anything about eating and drinking, and marrying and giving in marriage. That were marrying what they liked, what they choose. Besides that, there is no guidelines, godly guidelines about marriage. For them, marriage is only motivated by instinct and no accountability, and there's no preparation. Once he likes the girl, it is done. Once she likes the man, also it is done. Multiple marriages, divorce and remarriage, live-in relationship, incest, extramarital affair, fornication, at that time and this time is the same going on, and the church keep quiet about this sin, and the church keep quiet about keeping atmosphere of prohibiting such sin, and God will judge for that. God will come sooner or later, or later will judge His church. I'm not speaking about His second coming. I'm speaking His judgment upon His church, His own people, who knew the word of God, who knew God's will, but still they were reluctant to obey it. God may come on His church with calamities. He may come with His church with a sword. He may come against His church with earthquakes, wars, and He may come also against His church with sicknesses and infirmities and cancers to deal with those who promote such immoral sins. The Lord Jesus Christ, that is His word in the book of Matthew, is speaking to His disciples how He was going to judge the Jewish church who rejected Him and who rejected also His word. And in the book of Revelation, the Jewish church was destroyed by the Romans. God sent the Romans army, and He destroyed Jerusalem, and He destroyed the temple of God at 70 AD. After Christ was crucified on 33 or 34 AD, the temple was destroyed, and Jerusalem was destroyed at 78. And that generation that persecuted Jesus and rejected His word, the same generation were put to death by the Romans army. In the book of Revelation, that is written around 90 AD, the Lord, again, sending His warning, and sending His warning about He was going to send a death on His church and those who disobey the word of God. So we need to watch. We need to watch about the coming judgment of God on those who know the word, those who call themselves a Christian, but still they are not working out to deal with certain sin in the body of Christ. Particularly the sin of immorality. This is the sin that the devil is using mighty, because all the sin is outside the body, but the immorality is inside the body. In the book of Revelation chapter 2, we need to understand what the Holy Spirit is speaking. And God cannot be mocked. That is the sin that I personally persecuted by this sin. Book of Revelation, chapter 2 and verse 18 to verse 28. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write. This is what Jesus said. Right. These things say the Son of God. This is a direct message from Jesus. Let me get the point here. We are not speaking about some prophet or somebody wrote it, Revelation. No. That is right. Jesus is speaking. As He was speaking to His disciples, He spoke in a message to His churches at around 90 AD. What did He speak to them? They were believers, born again, water baptized, everything perfect. Not that Jewish, they are not being, no, they believe in Jesus, they worship the Lord. Every all the doctrine they follow. But let us read what He wrote to them. and unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and then thou commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds, and I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he which searches the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which ye have already hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my words unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I receive of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. In the church of Thyatira there were very good things was going on. And the Lord first he put the good things that they were doing. He put it everything, he did not forget anything, he did not forget. Your works, good work, charity, helping the people, service, ministry, providing service for the people. What else? Faith they have. They were patient. And also that they have also good work, and the last to be more than the first. And the more they are excelling in doing the good work. So he mentioned beforehand the good things that they were doing. But these good things that they were doing, it was enough for them to be saved. It was for them to be accepted when the other things that they were doing is wrong. You know, now the church is expanding in a very tremendous way, but the expansion is with sin going inside the church. And that what is not acceptable in the sight of God. He say all these things they are doing is good, but I have few things against you. Maybe get the point when Jesus says, I have few things against you. That all what you are doing, it is just as good as rubbish. Because the very things that he needs you to do, you are not doing, and you are not touching that area that needs to be dealt with. The sin of that church, Thyatira, the meaning of Thyatira is odious affliction. You know, terrible affliction. Awful affliction. Let me get the point here. Thyatira, it means like disaster. That's the meaning of the word Thyatira. Like a message, put a message started, disaster. You will go down and read. And it's really disaster. It is a disastrous will come to those churches who does not deal and uproot on moralities, who does not deal not only with extra sexual affair or extra matter, but who does not deal with fornication, who will not endorse boy and girls virgin to wedding day. We understand what is the seriousness. That is the word of Jesus, not the apostle, not the opinion of somebody, not the revelation given to somebody who wrote it. This is the very word of Jesus came to the apostle John. And that is the closing of the canon. That is the last writing. And if Jesus is not already fed up of what he was seeing, he would not send this message. Jezebel. They were tolerating, they were suffering, they were keeping Jezebel as part and parcel of their church. We cannot, they know wrong, but we cannot put her out. We are already tolerating her. Yeah? So it is part and parcel of our church and ministry. We know all that is going on under the table. Immorality, we agree about it. But we decided that we don't bother ourselves. We continue to do the work. But God is not accepting such attitude. Right? If he accepts their attitude, he will not send this letter and his warning. He will cause her to fall into sickness and to kill her, and I will kill her children with death. Have you get the point here? So he finally, he thought that if that will not, if they will not repent, death and destruction will come. Jezebel was the wife of King Ahab. She is non-Israelite, she is from Zidon, and she is the one who introduced Baal worship inside Israel. Baal worship is allowing immorality as part of their worship. And that's where churches who allow live-in, incest, boyfriend and girlfriend, boy and girl intermingling together, pushing the boys toward the girl, pushing the girl toward the girls. That is Jezebel's style. That is the doctrine of Jezebel. And Jezebel, she is the first one written in the Bible. She is the first one who painted her face. Makeup and perfume. Have you get the point? Color, because makeup is to show off. Yeah? And perfume also to attract. And what is the effect of it? Theatira, odious affliction. Do you know what is the meaning of Jezebel? After all her painting, after all her makeup, the meaning of Jezebel, the word Zebel, the meaning of it is dunk. It's the same Arabic word, the stool of the animal. That's the meaning of it. When we allow such things inside God's churches, we are inviting the wrath of God. And instead of enjoying the makeup or the nice smell with the perfume, we are inviting the wrath of God into our lives. Now, I don't want to argue. To those who still want to put makeup, I'm saying is, it is for the sake of your children, for the next generation, to be disciplined without it. Those who does not believe that makeup is causing and seducing people to do wrong, you can go and ask people who are non-believers and tell them, what is the effect of when you smell or you see somebody putting makeup, can you describe it? Then you will be convinced you are part of an instrument to promote immoralities to the body of Christ. That is the message that God wants us to hear today. Again, it was accused that it promotes fornication. Not adultery. Let me speak about adultery. Somebody married and that's another. But fornication, young people had been indoors, non-virgin, to have comments. From the time of Jesus till now, that is the apostle teaching for us. In the book of Revelation, after Paul's death, this whole church was planted by Paul and also the apostles, but that sin was not yet dealt with. False teachers. Who allow such things? Who will not put measures to prohibit it? Have you got the point? The false teachers, who does not put measures, when I am not willing to put measures, to put borders, to prevent such things, I'm part of it. What you see here, he say in verse 22, behold, I will cast her into a ditch, and then thou commit adultery with her. That does not mean she was doing adultery with him. But when she put them into atmosphere that they will be intermingling and finding adultery, what they did is also what she did, she is part of it, because she did not block that cycle from going on. And you see here, false teachers, false prophets, false pastors who promote this immorality, most of them, they have such background, divorced and remarried, separated, and he is marrying. Those, what they think? They think that when we promote others to do it, not only me, not only my family, not only my son, but everyone is doing it. They think that God would not send his judgment. The more they are igniting the wrath of God to come on them. There is one thing that touched my heart in this passage, and I know that's for us. You know, he mentioned Jezebel, and he mentioned the nonsense that's going on, and he mentioned that he will kill and he will put to death. That is Jesus. And you know how he described himself, Jesus, here in verse 18. To those who does not fear God, those who does not fear God, they will do all the sins, they will hide. They will hide it from the government, they will hide it from the church, they will hide it from their parents, because they don't fear God. But the letter that he addressed to them, read in verse 18, how Jesus described himself. Read in your Bible how Jesus in verse 18 described himself to the church. How he described his eyes, with the blue eyes and with the blonde hair. How he described his eyes?
Blazing fire.
Blazing flame from the eyes. And how he described his feet? With the feet of brass. Imagine you just go out in the street and you see somebody and his eyes are aflame and his feet are brass. You would not be shaken or no. Have you get the point here? Fierce judgment will come. Those who does not fear God, wait for them. You continue to fear God. Wait for them. God will deal with them. I'm very sure of this. How much I hear and I receive revival and people coming. Once I know there is immorality is not controlled, I know whatever they do, it will be not acceptable unless that sin is dealt with. What is the message for us? What is our concern? What is your mind is, what will be the guarantee that if I will obey, God will reward me? Because now, even God allow it,
that certain time the judgment of God would delay. In verse 21, you know, sometimes we are almost backslid when we see the prosperity of the wicked. In verse 21, he say, I have gave her a space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. What was the sin? Fornication. That is the very command of the apostle Daybreak. And God gave her a space of time. Sometimes the space of time, God says, stretch it. All Maseratis, we want to do wrong because God is not doing anything while the wicked are continuing to become wicked. He said, I give her a space of time. Certain time, God will not judge quickly. It may take years, months, decades sometimes to judge the sin. But finally, He will come. The one with the blazing eyes and the one with the feet of a brass, He will come and He will judge His church. And He will reward. He will reward. The encouraging message for us today is this. In verse 24, why we need to persevere? Why God still wants us to be faithful even all around us, they do these things. They don't discipline their children. They don't discipline their young. They allow all these things to carry on. Still, we need to be faithful to Him. He said, but unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine of Jezebel. So he differentiates. There are people does not follow this. This kind of doctrine. So God is expecting from us that even Jezebel, instead the church of God, is still God expecting from me, from you, from this church, to not follow the doctrine of Jezebel. And what he's saying? Sometimes, how long this battle will continue? It's a battle. It's a battle, really, the church is passing through. It is a battle. To endorse the next generation virgin to the wedding day is a battle. The devil is waging against the church to stop it. But we need to persevere to do it. What he say? He say, and which have not known the depth of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden. God accept that what we are passing through is already a burden. And He say, that what you carry as a ministry, that I will not add to you more burden than this. The Lord in you, the good things that you are doing to preserve the next generation to live in a holy life. God say, I will not add to you more burden. I understand very well. I understand that. I know my assignment very well now. You must know your assignment very well now. We have this assignment, we have to do it faithfully. There's no excuse. And if you say, who can help us? God says, I'll not put any more burden. We should trust God now that as we determine to follow exactly what the teaching that God wants us and the doctrine that God wants us to follow, He will be the one to help us. But it is very clear here. If those who are not adopting such doctrine, I will not put you any more troubles. Enough for you just to persevere in it. So let us be, that is our goal now as a church. That this is the burden from the Lord. Have you got the point here? There's a burden that clear scripture I should prohibit fornication. That is my burden. Other burden, that's not from the Lord. We have to keep it aside. We have to work out for godly families. We have to work out to prepare for godly marriages. You say to them, I will put upon you none other burden but that which ye have already hold fast till I come. I will just wait. Obey what you have, what you are already holding, and you don't know what to do. You don't know how to manage anymore. I will not add you more. Just hold these things until I will come with my judgment. Because when the wicked is not judged, they become worse. And we are also indicted when we see them prosper and they are disobeying. But God is coming with His judgment. That's why He's sending us message to let us wait for His, let us watch for His coming judgment upon the wicked and His reward upon those who obey Him. In verse 26 He says, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nation. So here the Lord, He is expecting people to overcome. Not that He expects people to fail Him. Have you understand here? God expected from me that I will overcome and keep it the work that He wants in His church. So what He was wanting from the church in Thyatira? What is His goal of sending this message to the church in Thyatira? To prohibit fornication. That's the other thing they need to do. We have to work it out. It's not an easy task. It's not an easy task. It's a terrible task. We have to block all the media, the TVs, the satellite, the mobiles, the intermingling. Right or wrong, we have to do that. That is the work that God entrusts to His church in Thyatira. Otherwise, wait for the odious affliction. Wait for it. If you will disobey. It's a burden. We need to do it. It's a task. It's a responsibility. It's a assignment. The Holy Spirit is speaking today very clearly to the church. He says, those who will overcome, I will give them power over the nations. That is what God wants from us. No fornication. I don't know which time God will cleanse His churches from the sin. But I know from the study I need to persevere until I die or until He brings in judgment. We know God has judged the sin of the Catholics. He destroyed churches and buildings and crosses and whatever. But the sin of the born again churches with the Jezebel doctrine, not yet. Not yet. We need to wait. Watch and wait for His coming judgment, not His second coming. I'm not speaking about His second coming. I'm speaking about His coming judgment on sin and His reward to those who obey Him. Let's go back. What He say also here, He will give us a power over the nations, that you will rule the nations. And also He say, in verse 28, and I will give him the morning star. So they are individuals. God is expecting individuals will overcome. But He will give the morning star. Who is the morning star? He said, I will give him the morning star in Book of Revelation, chapter 22 and verse 16. Revelation chapter 22, verse 16, He said, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And I will give him the morning star. It means that Jesus will be with us when we overcome. Now He is with us and He said, I will not add more to the burden that you have, more than what you are having, get hold of it until I
count. So we need to be patient, doing this assignment precisely, concisely. Service and faith and patience and charity, we may do, but that should be first, to prohibit fornication. That's our first and main proper assignment for us. If we will not do it then, we expect the wrath of God is coming on us, as it is coming to the other Hudus. Obey. There is no way that you are passive, whether you are actively involved in it, you are pushing people to do wrong, or whether you are don't interfere, you are also getting involved in it. Sin of commission, you get involved to push people wrong, and sin of that you omission that you don't do what's right, this also sin. And you get the point here? No one is playing safe. Even married, non-married, old, age, small, big, male, female, all of us as army, we need to condemn the sin and do all the measures needed to prohibit it. Let's go to Matthew chapter. Matthew chapter 24. Coming judgment of God. Verse 40 and 41 and 42. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what over your Lord that comes. Here speaking again that when God will send his judgment on his people, on the temple of God in Jerusalem, and on the city of Jerusalem, and also the cities of Judah, the invading army will deal with some people. With some people, they will be set free. So judgment will come. Some they will be taken by that judgment, and some people they will be free from that judgment according to the work that they have done. And he say, watch. We don't know which time the judgment of God will come. That's why the righteous person, the one who fears God, he will not die unless he has finished the work of God. But the wicked, anytime judgment of God will come, he'll be taken with that judgment. So God wants us to be faithful, watching ourselves, and watching the right way that we need to go through. We don't watch wicked people and learn from them, because we know sooner or later they'll be judged. We don't watch people who compromise and go along with them, because we know sooner or later they'll be also judged. We don't watch and follow the example of passive people who does not do anything against sin, because we know one day that God will deal with them and he will judge them. In verse 43, but notice that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. We understand here. Now, when the Lord will come and we find us unfaithful, he will take from us certain things and cause us also damage as part of his judgment. Therefore, be also ready, for in a certain hour, as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. God will deal with those who are unfaithful, those who are hiding because they are doing sin, hiding from government, hiding from authorities, hiding from parents, hiding from the church, those who are compromised, those who already make their ways and make, you know, compromises, agree with the church. We will do the same. Don't interfere with us. We will not interfere with you. When they have put their hands with devil, they will receive the judgment of God. In verse 45, who then is faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meet in due season? He's asking. God is looking who is the faithful and wise. The one responsible to give, we need to know what to give.
what our children, our family, our church, our congregation need, the meat that they need for their life. What is the requirement? What is the teaching? What is the word of God that we need to give them? Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. God will not overlook the person who is faithful in serving you, who is faithful to not allow sin to come inside the body of Christ. Now the message here, not only those who does not do sin, but those also who work out to prevent sin from coming in. Not that you don't do wrong, but also prevent others from doing wrong. Verse 48. But and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken. Such kind of servants, they would get the blessing of God to use it on their own flesh. Again, the sin of the time of Noah. They eat and they drink. They would enjoy the material things that God give them. They would abuse it and they would spend it on a wrong. They would spend it on a wrong direction. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of. God will catch those wicked people. He knows how to catch them, hold them, and bring them behind the bar to be judged and tried. And he will deal with them. The time that they will not expect their sin will be exposed, God will expose it. God will reveal everything, and with the time, how he reveals when he brings his judgment on them and shall cut him asunder. That is the word of Jesus. That is the word of Jesus. He will cut him asunder. He is not speaking about his second coming. He is speaking about the judgment coming, judgment on those who know the word of God and they are not doing it. And shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the not with the criminal or murderer or fornicator or that, with the hypocrites. You know why with the hypocrites? Because those who does not fear God, they fear authorities. They fear the church authority, they fear the parents authority, they fear the government authority, they fear the boss authority, and they will do all what they can to hide.